Hey there, this is Scott Johnson from the Rheology Podcast, and we're in the middle of a series called So They Say, where we look at all the things people are saying about God, Jesus, and Christianity. Now, some of the things they say are kind of spot on, and then again, most of them, well, not so much. We know that the specific views that people have usually end up looking pretty different from reality or the truth. This confusion just grows and grows, and a lot of what people think and what they say moves further and further from the truth. Today, I'm here with my friends Tyler Korn and Chris Barron. Last time we talked about Jesus and his vision and version of what Messiah would look like, what kind of Messiah he was and would be, and then what exactly he wants with us. What's this got to do with us? Today's episode, we're going to look at the question, what do Christians do? The default answer has been, well, they go to church. But is that really what a Christian does? Apparently, you can't be a Christian if you don't go to church. Or so they say. All right. Hey, guys.
Morning.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, we're recording this after the holidays, and I'm looking really refreshed. And these guys, well, I mean, they drug themselves into the studios here today.
It was a long commute.
There's a difference between those two and me. And it's a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old ish.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I ain't got that.
Yeah.
We've been talking about that this morning a little bit, how hard it is. You guys, it's funny because I'm like, I'm missing Christmas and you guys are probably like later.
Yeah. Till next year. We need a whole year. I need a whole year to recover from like the 2 weeks. That is
the merry. The
I'm sure. I'm sure we'll go back right and look back at it with rose covered glasses. What it
rose tinted
glasses?
Yeah.
But when you're in it, man, it is. It's hard to survive.
Is it like Disney taking your little ones to Disney and it's not the happiest place on earth at that point?
I can't imagine going to Disney right now.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, that is not
100% a nightmare.
Yeah.
I went years ago and Carly was like, I think she was like 4. No. And it was like 105.
No.
And we were trying to get on the Dumbo ride. And the Dumbo ride at that point was like, it felt like it was in the middle of a parking lot. So it's like blacktop,
the sun. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
She was grumpy and hot and sweaty. And so she's on my shoulders waiting for 50 minutes. Yeah. To get on the stupid Dumbo ride.
Yep.
That's a marker Christmas. In my life. I remember.
Why would you do that in the first place?
I don't know. Because it's the happiest place on earth.
But everybody comes back. And it's like, that was the worst experience of my life.
It was a great experience, except for most of that.
Most of it. It was great, except for the whole thing.
Yeah. Going home at night was awesome. Yeah. Getting in the air-conditioned tram.
Yeah, the kids must have slept really well.
They slept several times during the day even.
They're probably unconscious. They probably passed
and it's
out
expensive
from the heat.
As crap too. Yeah. It's like, oh well.
I think that's a great, in my head, you can parallel Disney World and church.
Oh.
Man.
Shout out Sky Jatani.
Wow.
As well.
Okay. Sky, you hear that?
Yeah. He's definitely
listening. He's listening.
Shout out Divine Commodity. Anyway. Just to kind of maybe get us off the...
Did you read this or listen to this?
Divine Commodity?
Yeah, is it a book?
It was the book. I read it in college. It was the book that started to tear away all of the religiosity that I had built up.
Really? Why am I just not hearing this?
100%.
Have you never heard of the book?
No.
We've talked about Sky with you,
right? Sky, sure.
He wrote like... He's written all kinds of different books and he has a podcast.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're all listening to this.
Yeah. It's not as popular as ours.
I mean, the book is basically like the commodification of Christianity.
Okay.
Which is very, which is kind of what we are attempting to do here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was the kickstart for me to really realize all of the religion that I had been built up on my heart.
Yeah.
It kickstarted everything.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
People would say it was like a deconstruction season for me, but like it was less of that. It was more just like learning what it meant to be a Christian.
Right.
But I had to unlearn a ton of stuff as well.
Yeah.
And still am.
Cool. Anyway. I'll have to put that on the read list. I've listened to a lot of stuff that he's done, and I've always like, man, how do I get him on a podcast where he's doing this on a regular basis? Because like the Holy Post one is like goofy.
It's different.
Yeah. For 40 minutes.
It's more newsy.
And then he's typically interviewing somebody. Yeah. And like, to me, I'd rather get rid of all the goofy and get to that. And that's not what it is. So I'll have to check that out.
He also does a daily
devotional. Yeah.
Which I do every day as well.
Oh, okay.
So really good.
Cool.
Shout out Sky.
Yeah.
Love you.
Do you have his name tattooed somewhere?
Not yet.
No, not on my heart.
Oh, wow. Wow.
What's next?
How much more information can we get about Sky? Yeah. Well, I don't know.
This is a podcast about Sky now.
So we're saying that people are saying that you cannot go to heaven. No, mm-hmm. You can't be a Christian,
yes.
Which therefore you can't go to heaven.
Yeah.
But you can't be a Christian if you don't go to church.
Yeah.
Is that what people are saying?
Yes.
Is that what you hear people saying?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I don't think they would like flat out say that sentence, but I think it comes with a Christian,
mm-hmm.
right? You just, what you do is church.
Because the next question would be, where do you go to church?
Yeah. And if you don't say you go to church, then you're just a bad Christian or not a Christian.
Or not a Christian.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. So, which, because you said before, there's no such thing as a bad Christian or a good Christian.
Right.
Yeah. That, so only Chris said that.
Only.
I don't know.
He has it tattooed on his heart.
Yes, it does.
You don't have any more room on your heart.
But yeah, so yes, for sure. If they're not saying that, I mean, I think that's
they're
just
dancing around it.
But that's also what people are seeing, right? Like that's what their takeaway of Christianity is.
Mm-hmm.
Is like you have like because how often people say Christians versus the church.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, when they say the church does this, they're talking about Christians.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
So, in order to be a Christian, yeah.
Okay. I mean, what we're about ready to stick our toes into is like a really weird subject.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And mainly because, and we'll get to this, mainly because of the word church itself, and mainly because English speaking people have this like plurality of meanings for the same stupid word.
Are you saying church is stupid?
The word is stupid. Let's put it that way.
Scott said that.
We're stupid for having it mean six different things. Church has, there's no doubt about it that church has become the defining thing. Like you just said, Chris, in a Christian's existence, you become a Christian, and what do you go and do? You go to church. So, like, I was baptized. I went to, and we talked about this before. My buddy Derek Willoughby, shared Jesus with me when I was 15 years old, and he was like 12. And so I went to youth group with him and stuff like that. And then it started becoming clear that, you know, this is what was missing for me and whatever. So when I was baptized in April of 1986. You guys probably weren't even born in 1986, were you?
Chris was.
Two months later. Yeah. You were born.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Have I told you about AARP and all the benefits that come with
no
that?
No old jokes. It's okay. We're all old here.
You're old souls.
Well, we work with college students who think we're super old, so.
Well. Yeah.
Imagine if they met you.
Until they meet me. And they go, who's Moses over here? So I was baptized and I vividly remember a dude. He was the dad of one of the girls in the youth group I grew up with. And he said to me, like, I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was something to the point of like, you know, hey, welcome to the family of God. This is your new family. Hmm. And you'll find like protection here from the world and all this stuff. And I was just, you know, I'm 16. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the whole idea was exactly what Chris was saying, was that now you're part of the club kind of mentality. And this inside these walls here, this is where your family is.
Mm-hmm.
And, So for me, it was modeled that I become, okay, so I come to youth group and I hang out and I get used to it. Yeah, this is great. It's great. I did become baptized for the right reasons. There's no doubt about that. I know that. I remember that. But it also, baptism was also like, you know, getting your application approved for, you know, the club, mm-hmm. right? And it was like, it's like the initiation almost. And so what's next? This is next. Mm-hmm. This is next. And then trying to get people to come to this
yep.
is next. And so therefore, whether they said it or not specifically, it was absolutely modeled. And, yes. But I have absolutely definitely come across people who have asked the same thing. Which Chris was just saying, you know, it's become like the barometer or the thermometer of like your spiritual life is the question is like, where do you go to church? Mm-hmm. How big is your church? Or how many people go, you know, how many people go to your church? Yeah. Those are like the qualifications of like, oh man, he is like really doing it yep. Christian wise. He goes to a church of 1,000 people. Oh man, nice. He's got a bumper sticker of the church on his car.
But you could also argue that some people would say, oh, that's not a real church because it's too big.
Yes.
Right. So it goes both ways.
It does, but primarily people would look at it, typically would look at it like it's a better thing. Like for instance, around here, if you go to a little squatty church,
yeah.
it's like you're borderline a cultist.
Squatty church?
Yeah.
What's that?
A squatty church, a small church. Church of like 60 people, 100 people,
that
or whatever.
You can squat in?
No.
Like why are you saying squatty?
Squatty small.
Squatty is small. Okay, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
When squatty you squat, is smaller. Smaller. Okay. Trust Moses, okay? Jeez.
Yeah, that was...
Moses said you tell it. Your whippersnapper kids what squatty means. So like if you go to like a church of like 100 around here, it's, you know, it's borderline like cult or you guys handle snakes down there. See what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's like the perception is the bigger, awesome mega churches are like.
The bigger you are, the more successful you are because you're doing something right.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I want to share some of these stats. Are stats that honestly, I pulled these up about 20 minutes before you guys came. So anybody listening out there who want to know if this is a real deal or not, I mean, Google it. It won't take you very long nope. to realize this is a reality. So according to an article via NPR, this was just last July, 2023, a pre-pandemic study found that there are over, this says 1,500, it's not, it's 1,800 mega churches in the United States.
Okay.
A mega church is a church that has at least 2,000 people attending, members, whatever you want to call that. Okay. There are 1,800 mega churches in the United States.
Okay.
The average church size, we've talked about this before, in the United States, 65 people.
Yep.
That's the average. A third of those people are over the age of 65.
Across all numbers?
Across all, yes. The average in the United States, 65. Okay. So that's the average. Yep. That's 65 is the average, which means that if there are 1,800 mega churches in the United States of churches over 2,000 people, there are far, far, far more churches that are under 50
mm-hmm.
to get the average to be 65.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So a separate study showed that 75% of these mega churches were rapidly growing.
This is pre-COVID.
This is pre-COVID.
Right? Yeah, okay.
This is pre-COVID. That the mega churches were rapidly growing and the small churches were rapidly not decreasing, dying. Mm-hmm. Dying. A Gallup poll from 2019 showed that there's already been a steady decline in the last two decades leading up to this poll. So in the 90s and in the 2000s, there was already a steep decline in church attendance. And according to another Gallup poll, Gallup really likes to check this stuff out, church attendance has not rebounded since COVID, which I think for those of us who are kind of in on the you know, the behind the scenes thing of mm-hmm. ministry and church, that's not a shock.
No surprises there.
No surprises. I think the biggest surprise of all those things is that the average church attendance in the United States is 65 people. Mm-hmm. Most people that I've said that to are like, what? Mm-hmm. Seriously? 65 people? That's the average. But what they don't see is like, you could drive. So we're in Charlotte. You can drive from Charlotte to Myrtle Beach. The drive to Charlotte to Myrtle Beach is not on major interstates or highways. Yeah. You're going to take a lot of little back roads kind of mess, and you're going to see
1800 churches.
Lots of, right. Lots and lots of small, squatty churches of 40, 30, 50 people. There are way more of those. There are articles all abound all over the internet. As I said, Google, you're going to see it very quickly concerning the decline of church attendance in the last, definitely the last three decades, but right before the pandemic and obviously right after, during and after the pandemic. And these articles all come from sources like the Washington Post, the Atlantic, the Pew Research Center. You guys probably never heard of the Pew Research Center.
Oh, I definitely have.
Okay, cool.
We've also done our research.
Have you?
Oh, yes.
Awesome. I want to hear that.
Okay.
The Pew Research Center, if you do not know about it, you need to go check it out because they're all into that kind of stuff if you're listening. Christianity Today, Newsweek, MSN, tons and tons of other people. Why? Because it's drastically evident that there's something is going on. So whether it's been called the great dechurching or the faith deconstruction or even labeled as a new documented growing section of society called the Duns, which it has been, no matter what, it's real. So if you have to go to church in order to be a Christian, wouldn't it kind of look like that there is a steep decline in Christianity?
Right.
As well as church. And the reality is if you start looking at this great dechurching, faith deconstruction, the Duns, whatever, the answer is no. Unless you truly, truly believe that, well, you can't be a Christian if you don't go to church.
Right.
What was your study? What did you find out?
I know you're asking me to pull numbers. Well,
just generalities. Well,
because of what we do on campus and how we feel like God is leading us, we wanted to find basically numbers to see if it would back up what God was also telling us. There's another institute called Springtide Research Institute.
Okay.
Used to be led by a guy named Ryan Burge, who wrote the book about the Duns.
He wrote the, okay, I don't know this book.
Yeah, so he wrote that book about the Duns, basically saying there's this great exodus of church members, right? But that doesn't mean that they're not Christian anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came alongside with the Springtide Research Institute, basically to get data on Gen Z, which is the kinds of people that we work with.
Right.
So how does Gen Z practice spirituality? How many of them are Christian or Buddhist or Jewish or whatever it is?
Yeah, right.
How many of them go to church? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's like 2/3 of all Gen Z don't go to church.
Yeah.
It's a crazy number.
Yeah.
And which, like I said, we've been hearing this stuff from God and how he wants us to reach students on campus. But we've also been seeing it from the research that we're doing on campus, that the majority of students at UNC Charlotte, not across the board, but at Charlotte, they would say that they have like some kind of Christian experience or a religious experience.
Yeah.
But they're not going to church.
Yeah.
They're not going to like a campus ministry or a local church. Most of them, if they say they do go to church, they say, well, yeah, I've got a church back home that I'll go to like during the holidays or whenever I go home.
Christmas candlelight service,
exactly.
Easter, maybe.
So like they quote unquote go to church, but it's really more of a social familial thing than it is like a week to week practice,
right?
And this is for Gen Z,
mm-hmm.
right? But I think it's applicable So really all generations.
Absolutely.
Know. So
sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is why this conversation is like really tricky.
Yeah.
It's also super important because I think a lot of people want to be Christian, want to have a relationship with Jesus, but they feel like they can't.
Yeah.
Because they don't go to church.
Right.
They haven't found a good church that suits them because when they go in there, right, this is my new family. Like, this family is not like me. And I have to like really drink a lot of the Kool-Aid to like be part of it. And right, and part of their Christianity revolves around church activity. So right, to be a better Christian, I need more volunteering. I need to do all these things, but only through the lens of the church, because I only got saved through the church. And now I have to practice through the church.
Yep.
And anything outside that church, it's like, well, that you're either like some sort of cult or some heretic, or like you're just half-breed Christian, whatever.
Yeah.
Right? So people feel like they have to be part of some sort of church in order to really call themselves a Christian.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are leaving the church, and I think they want to still be called a Christian, but they probably can't even fully identify themselves as Christians because like I left. They probably think that they're part of their practice is going to church, and they left that. So like, I don't know what I am.
Yeah.
But in reality, they want to be the relationship with Jesus, right? That no one has told them, like, hey, the church isn't like the Messiah, right? That's not who you're following. You're not following the church. What even is the church? Right? If only if there was a podcast
talking about this stuff. Only. Well, and the thing is, like, the terminology I use is official. Like, if you do stuff outside of the church, that's fine, but it's not official.
Yes.
It's like you don't get your card punched for that.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, the only thing that really counts is inside the church.
Yes.
Now, so like, the order would be, well, do this stuff in here first, and then add, don't swap it out, add stuff outside.
Yeah.
And the main thing outside would be just bring somebody. just bring someone.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about this, and we kind of hinted about it earlier before we started recording. We're talking about this, and the three of us don't actually go to church.
Yeah.
Right. And out of the three of us, Tyler would be the one who goes more frequently, which is saying a lot.
That's funny. You go to church.
I do.
Well, you do. You go more frequently. Well, okay, let's put it this way. Do you?
Oh yeah.
You
have to remind me that I actually do it. Yeah,
there it is. Yeah. You actually help lead worship.
Yes,
from time to time.
Yes, I do. Don't I? And I love it.
So, because I was going to say, for me, I have not been in a church worship service for years. I've been to, I think it was 3 Christmases ago, maybe 4, we went to a candlelight service, and that was like the last. And I walked out going, there's a reason why I don't go. And even my kids were like, huh, there's a reason why we don't go. So we don't go to church. Is it fair to ask why?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking us.
Us?
All of us?
Yeah. Us. Personally, what is it that you don't go? Because here's the deal. You shouldn't like go and do things because you feel like it's your duty.
Correct.
Right? I mean, unless you're in the military, but you see that before you go in the military. You understand the military is service oriented.
Yeah.
And it is duty. But a lot of times you go into because you want to serve.
Right.
So you're not serving out of duty. You're serving out of want, and it ends up being your duty.
Right.
But you typically don't go and hover around things that you just don't really want to do. Well, let's go do it anyway. Yeah. That doesn't really work.
Well, unless there's a transaction, like a job.
Yeah.
Right. But you're getting a return from that.
Exactly.
You're getting paid.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. But things that you voluntarily do, you typically don't do them unless you at the very least halfway want to do
it. Right.
So,
Why don't I go to church?
Why don't you go to church?
I mean,
more often, Tyler.
More often, I can give you the simple answer or the more like deep answer. I think
start with the simple and then go into the deep.
I don't go to church because I don't believe that I can go to church.
You don't believe you can?
No, because I don't believe that Christians go to church. I believe that Christians are the church. So how can I go to something that I am?
Well, you're right? Not an event.
Correct.
You're not a building.
Hopefully I'm not getting ahead of the conversation.
Well, no.
So simply put, like, since college, where mm-hmm. I was exposed to this kind of thought and ultimately truth, like, I have been in this place of figuring out what it means for me to be involved with people who say they are also Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm like, I'm 35. I was 18 when I came to college. Do the math. Like, I've been maybe dancing around what it means to be a part of a church for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And still have not found, or God has not revealed, or we're not in a place right now where we can say this is church for us.
Okay.
Yeah, we've Chris and I, we and our families and another family, we were part of a house church for 5 years, maybe almost 6 years. But kids get in the way, honestly.
Sorry.
when it's a small group of people, right? Yeah,
changes things.
But again, like, I would say that even I'm not trying to figure out where to go to church.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to figure out where can I worship on Sunday morning. Right? I think for us, it's more like...
It's not your goal. Isn't to go and find...
Because the goal, ultimately, the goal is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if like, in the center of the target is Jesus, like, Jesus will help me and my family figure out what it means to be connected to people who also love him.
Okay, yeah.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
And since that has been the goal, God has not revealed the next step for what it means to be with people who also love him.
Yeah.
Right? So that's really it. I mean, kids, they don't get in the way. I'm going to backtrack. Kids are not getting in the way. They do sometimes. But for this, they're not getting away. It's just a season of life that we're in that it makes it really hard to connect with people,
mm-hmm.
like on a daily or weekly basis,
mm-hmm.
at the same time having kids who
But you're are only saying that old. To connect with people through how existing churches operate, right? Like these churches, right? So you're not saying...
I'm not... When I say church, I'm not thinking about that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because the only way... for a lot of Christians to get together is on a Sunday morning at 10.
Correct.
And you put, right. So I think a lot of people think church, right? That's what you're saying. But you're saying outside of that box.
Yeah, you're probably more painting like the idea of like the house church kind of thing, which you guys were getting together.
Even interested in the label that is, that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not looking for a house church. Like, yes. Again, the center of the target is Jesus.
Right.
And I believe that other people's center of the target is also Jesus. And God will lead us into relationship together.
Mm-hmm.
Church. That's it. Mm-hmm. For me, that's the goal.
Okay.
And we're not in that place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really, really hard. It's not like this is not something that I love being in, this season of like, what is community for mm-hmm. me and my family? Mm-hmm. It sucks. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, especially if like someone or something else is painting what community is supposed to look like and you're not getting there, then it sucks.
Yeah.
But the reality is maybe this is community.
Yeah.
And I get it. If you're not around like dudes all the time and you want to be around dudes more, then it does suck. Or if you want to go hiking more and you can't do that does suck. Yeah. Chris, what about you? Why don't you go to church?
Yeah, I think this has already been mentioned, but I think it wasn't. It became, right, so this is where I think people would push back. It realized that Sunday morning service church was not the most important thing to my spiritual relationship with God, right, mm-hmm. with Jesus. Like, that does not define it. And the more, because I haven't been part of I don't remember last time I was part of a church, right, because I grew up in the Philippines. We grew up going to a church, but then my parents work with college students, and we would go, our church service would be a Tuesday at like 7, in this small room with like 20 college students. There's no chairs. We just sit, and there'd be like this a conversation. There would be like I guess you'd call it sermon, but someone would do some sort of teaching, and we would just after that we would break out in a group and just talk about what we just talked about, right? And then I wasn't really part of that church because I was for college students. So the college students had their own lives. My parents just kind of brought us with us.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents were part of like those other people's lives. But for me, that opened up the idea of like, oh, churches doesn't have to be a Sunday morning. It doesn't have to be in a church building. It doesn't have to be these things. And then I went to college and got involved with Impact. And Impact was like, oh, this is church because right. I'm with a community of believers. Campus. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I started working Impact. And then this whole time I was in church buildings, but I was never a member of a church.
Mm-hmm.
I then graduated, but then on the journey of like, what is like deconstruction, reconstruction, like what is church then to me?
Yeah.
I feel bad saying this, right? But just like churches, I don't know. I almost feel bad saying this, right? Because like a lot of times we had this conversation. I was pointing to Tyler right now.
Well, don't throw me into this.
All right. Yeah, I was talking to Tyler. Tyler was not saying this. These words. Yeah. I feel a lot of churches do more damage to your faith than good sometimes. Sometimes. Not all churches.
Well,
unbelievable.
We're going to come to find out that it's not really sometimes.
Sure. So the whole thing, right, is like, I think churches and Sunday morning churches are not necessarily a bad thing. I think a lot. Someone else said this, right? I think it's lost its potency. The root of it, it turned into something different.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing different isn't like a sin. It's not horrible for people. But I think it takes away from Jesus being the center.
Right.
And I think for us and our family, it's like we're trying to figure out Jesus is the center. Mm-hmm. Where can we go to continue that like theology or that worldview?
That's good.
Right. And a lot of times it's not on a church on Sunday morning.
Right.
Right. So if it was a church on Sunday morning, we would be gladly going to that.
Sure.
But a lot of times we don't feel like they are actually doing how we see
right.
like Jesus set up his kingdom.
Right.
Right. Right. I think they're shrinking it. Mm-hmm. I think they're shrinking his kingdom and Absolutely. Putting it in a very like capitalistic form, because we talk about this is literally capitalism, is small churches are dying and big churches are on the rise.
Right.
That's capitalism, right? Yeah. They're eating up the small congregations and turning into these big ones, and they're packaged in a way people can just consume it easily and go home.
Yeah.
Right? Churches now it's just all about how consumable is the product that you can sell.
Sure.
I'm not saying that is every church, because what we said before, every church is 65 people, right? So there are good churches. A lot of these churches just want to copy the mega churches.
Yeah.
They're saying that is what success looks like.
Right.
So then that is like they lose their focus on who they are. Now, again, that's not every single church. There are good churches. Right. This is where I have to be careful.
Right. I don't see it as a question of good or not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't, okay. That's irrelevant. Yes. It doesn't matter. Good or not good. They're good people.
Yes.
You know, and the church is what it is, I guess. Maybe that's a better way to say it. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Whether it's good or not. You know, because I just don't think it really helps to say whether it's good or bad or whatever. Yeah. Now,
I'm not trying to,
what they're doing or not doing might be more important to like highlight.
Because the reality is like, I think they're missing the target.
Right.
I think that's so it's not good or bad. I think it's just what I have learned and heard from God. Right. Can I learn or hear from God at a church service on Sunday? Yes. In a small group, what they do? Yes. But the way it's packaged.
Right.
I just, if you, like, you can't even talk about churches to a normal Christian, right, without them being somehow offended when we say, like, I think church has like, actually missed the mark.
Yeah.
Like, no, you can't.
It becomes personal.
Because, yes. It's too personalized for people.
Yeah.
But even their whole like theology, their way of thinking and approach to Christianity, it's like I don't know if I'm using the word right. It's heliocentric, right? The church your actions have to orbit church, right? And that is just like, and people, unless you are free of that like bondage of everything has to come to like being connected to a church, Like, mm-hmm. you'll never, I keep drawing a circle around it's the nice. Table everyone's staring
it's
at.
Nice. It. It's a nice circle.
unless you can, like, see, right? Like, it's the being blue-pilled or the Matrix,
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Bright pill. Like, this is, there's, like, the sense of, sounds so contentious, but enlightenment, right? Like, oh, there is more to my walk with Jesus than what is in and out of church. We've had students who said, they literally said, you can't walk with Jesus in a church. That's their experience because right. it was taken away from their mm-hmm. Jesus.
Right, right.
Because it turned into people and politics and all these things. Right. Anyways.
Yeah, that's a pendulum swinging the other way, yeah. which I'm not interested yeah. in doing that yes, because that's wrong as well.
Yes.
So there's a reoccurring theme here, and I want to be the third person to throw yes. my hat into the ring of this,
yeah.
is I don't think I ever thought of church as the center of my relationship with God. We're going to get into this next episode, but the whole house of the Lord mentality, I always, that was super cringy to me, even when I was 16, 17. I'm like, oh, God doesn't live here. Mm-hmm. I knew that. I have always seen church as a resource for the Christians, not the Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Because if you start like just at least taking it and breaking it down like in sentence structure with verbs and nouns and adjectives, you start to realize that, you know, the church is a resource that the Christians go to or be a part of. And so therefore, it can't be a person. It can't be a person, place, and thing. It's just, it's a place and thing, but it's not a person. Anyway. So I never really saw that either as my center thing. The reason why I don't go to church is because, number one, I get bored very easily. I don't need to go to church and have someone who's really not that good of a public speaker or someone who hasn't done any kind of research except for maybe the day before or a couple of days before or has never experienced what they're getting ready to teach on is going to teach for 45 minutes. I have zero interest in that.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to go to church on a weekly basis. Problem is, for me, just for me, nobody wants to do it differently. Mm-hmm. You just said, even the small 60 people churches are, I just told you guys of a mm-hmm. church came across my table, my desk that, you know, they're probably right at that 60 people and they're trying to do modern worship. And they're mistakenly thinking that's how they succeed because all the spotlight is on these mega churches we talked about.
Right.
And this is how you do it. And I get so tired of seeing all these different pictures in my social media feeds of all these churches and their stage because that's the pictures are not necessarily of the people.
Yeah.
The pictures yeah. are always of the stage.
Yeah.
Here's what we're doing. Here's what God, quote unquote, is doing. And every picture looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's a performance. It's a, whether it's a play or a concert, whatever. It's a black background with lights and dudes up there with hats on backwards playing instruments and stuff. And I'm like, and then the people are standing out there, like looking at it. And I've been a part of this. They're not, most of them aren't mm-hmm. singing. Most of them don't care. We only sing about three songs and every service is the same. It's three songs, some sort of bumper to get into the message. And then we're in the message Amazing. And we close yeah. the song.
Yes.
Every freaking one of them is yeah. that. And I don't care about that.
Prickly.
It's boring to me. And the reality is when we call this worship, I beg to differ. I don't think any of it is worship. I think it's a program. And listen, if that's what you want to do, I don't really care. Go for it. But I agree with what Chris said. We've said this before. Most churches are very, very short-sighted. They are packaging this into a very nice, neat little deal. And they are selling it that this is what Christians do.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why the students you guys are talking to say you can't be with Jesus inside a church because it's a harsh reaction to what they've yeah, experienced
right, yes.
because they've walked in and go, there is no Jesus in here.
Yeah.
There's no room for Jesus in here because they have the same schedule Jesus, we just hope that you come hang out for a few minutes or like one of the songs. And so for me, I had a conversation with a friend of mine years back. I'm like, man, I would love if a church would just do like, hey, we're just going to do a prayer service. And then next week it's going to be, singing and all the songs are going to be sad.
Yeah.
You know, or we're going to do communion. We're going to spend a whole hour on communion. Or, hey, yeah, someone is going to teach and he's going to teach for 50 minutes. Okay, cool. That'd be the day I skip maybe. Yeah. But no one's doing that.
Yeah.
And, it's not that we haven't tried to go to church. And, I'm an ordained pastor. You guys are ordained as well. I was in the church. I worked in the church for, 11, 12 years of my life. I just don't want to go there. I don't want to go there because it's boring, number one, for me. And most people will say like, well, church isn't about you. It's not about what you get out of it. It's what you put into it. Well, I'm not allowed to put anything into it except for sit down and stand up.
There's only so many things you can put into it.
Or volunteering for the kids.
Yes. And we can get into that later, the four things that churches expect of you. But some other time. That's why I don't go. I don't go because, number one, I agree with you guys. It's not the center of my experience with Jesus. And with Tyler, same thing. When people say, have you found a church yet? I mean, they don't say that to me anymore, but they used to. And I would say to them the same thing that you just kind of alluded on. It's hard to find something you're not looking for.
Yep.
I'm not looking for that. Mm-hmm. Man, if there were a group of people that wanted to just like, hey, man, we're just going to get together and we're just going to worship. I mean, we are literally going to get into a room and we are going to give everything we have to Jesus in that room. I'm all for it. I would be there in a heartbeat. I miss it. I'd love to be a part of that. Nobody does it. We did that in youth ministry. That's what I was used to. That's the kind of worship style I was used to. Nobody does it. So, now I'm like, okay, well, maybe there's a reason why we had so many adults try to come to be a part of our worship service, because they were like, God, kill me. What they're doing down there, they need this. Let's talk about this word. We said that we were going to talk about it. We need to, because as I've talked about before, and we're not going to go crazy into this. Anybody listening to this right now, I've done a podcast previously on this, going way deep into it. There's a YouTube on our YouTube channel, Realogy YouTube channel. There's a two-part video that goes really deep into it. Go and check it out. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Yeah. But I think we need to talk about the English word church, because that is what we keep saying.
Yes.
We keep saying it, And the problem is, what I see is the problem is we don't really understand what it means. And once we can actually like truly give it some parameters and define it, then we can go, okay, we can put it in its proper perspective instead of it being like the center of a Christian, or it being everything that it needs to be, or even if when it's called, we'll get to that, when it's called us, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. So ultimately church, is an English word. We're going to talk about where it comes from. Three things that the church definitely gets defined as majority of the time. And that's why I was asking you, are you a place? Are you a building, or an event, a building, an institution? Those are the three things that that church primarily gets assigned. When someone says, the church has suffered many losses over the decades, they are referring to an institution. So the institution is one way we use the word church. It's an institution, the whole thing, right? The church universal, or as some of us know, Catholic. That's what the word universal. Catholic means universal. That was the idea originally. It's a universal church. We're going to create a structure for this, a system. And all three of these things all tie into the system. So it's an institution. It is a building. A church is a building. We say it all the time. We'll drive in the countryside and we'll say, oh, look at that church over there. Look how beautiful that is. Look at that old church. We use that word for that. Mm-hmm. Sorry. You don't like it? Quit saying it. And then, of course, we use it as an event. Hey, we just said, when's the last time you went to church? Right. You went to church. It was an event or a place, institution. It definitely has meant those three things for its existence. And when I say existence, I'm not meaning all the way back in, you know, Matthew in the New Testament. I'm not meaning all the way back to Jesus, because come to find out that it's not there. Mm-hmm. As we've talked about for so many times. The question's always, when we see that church is these three things, and then there's this illusion, the selling, like Chris, what you're saying, like the selling of the product, like this is it, right? It is an institution, you know, it is a building and it is an event. This is the new thing that Jesus came to do and build, that this is it. And you can't be a Christian if you don't, if you're not a part of this right. package, those three things. We start wondering, like, well, is this what Jesus intended?
Yeah.
And that question then turns into the question, is it biblical?
Right.
Is it in the Bible? And not just named in the Bible, but is this, the concept and everything, exactly match up with what Jesus said? It is in the Bible. We open our Bibles up and there's the word church right there all over the place. So I told you guys a couple of weeks ago that I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and he started asking about this stuff, and I'm like, okay, here we go. So we get into it and stuff. And I said, you know, why, I said something about church to him, you know, why was it important, or why do you do it or whatever? And he said, well, it's biblical. And I said, is it? He said, yeah. I said, okay, I'll give you this.
He doesn't know what he's done.
It's in the Bible. I mean, I'm not going to be an idiot and say it's not there. We just pull up a Bible and right there, the English word's there. But in the actual Bible, the original language, is it there?
Right.
Is the same meaning there? And so when Jesus does declare to Peter and to everybody else listening that, hey, upon this kind of faith, I'm going to build church. I'm going to build an institution. I'm going to build a building. I'm going to build an event. Apparently it is biblical because Jesus said it. Mm-hmm. The reality is no. So, when we talked about this, and you guys know this, but like when I started like looking into this, cause I was just like, same thing. Like I said, church was never the focal point. It was never the center. Right. So why so much focus on it? Why do people then say, hey, you're a Christian? Yeah, cool. Where do you go to church? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Why do they do that?
Yeah.
Why do they do that? Why are they programmed to that? That is their immediate response. Why? So when I started then researching and I started going backwards, it's not hard through like the study of words, etymology. It's not hard to realize where our English words come from. And unfortunately, specifically in a religious context, we're using really old words
yes.
that are not used in any other form or fashion yes. in our culture. You know, like sanctification. When was the last time you used that outside of a religious context?
Disciple.
Never. Disciple. When do you, I mean, maybe a video game you played and it was, yeah. but it's a religious context.
Right.
I mean, so right off the bat, the English language is so weird because we can't have words that have a plurality of meaning. And so we have to be very, very specific. And some people have said, listen, hey man, you know, it doesn't matter. Potato, potato. Mm. I said, well, and I have always said, it does matter if you're saying potato, potato, and you're calling one thing a potato. You're saying that about a potato, and you're saying that also about a cantaloupe.
Right.
They're not the same. Yes. You can't call a cantaloupe a potato, a potato, unless, well, I guess in this culture you can.
Yes.
We can change all the rules. But
different podcast.
Different podcast. Way down the road.
I don't even
want to begin to think about touching that. But that's true. And so when I started looking at the English word church, I started realizing that like where English came from And then you just go backwards, and it's real simple. And it leads to a Germanic word. It leads to a Latin word, which leads to a Greek word, which leads to the Bible, the New Testament, because it's written in Greek. And all I have to do is just go backwards. It's real simple. And I realize, okay, there's the word. And then now in our culture, we can go and look in, you know, the blue letter Bible or whatever, or, you know, any different tool, and figure out what the Greek words that were actually written.
Right.
And they don't match up. So we've said this before, the Greek word that Jesus uses in Matthew to describe this thing he's going to build is the Greek word ekklesia. And when I took church and went backwards with it, it don't come from ekklesia. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, somewhere down the line, when people started translating Greek into modern languages, specifically for English, somehow they used the word church. And that was a massive head scratcher. Why? Why would we do that? And so what we come to find out is the Greek word for church, where church comes from, is a phrase called kuriakon or kuriakos, which is, just means of the Lord. And we'll talk about that more in the next podcast. But ekklesia and kuriakon are not the same word. They do not mean the same thing. It's nice that we may want to call ourselves church, mm-hmm, of the Lord. Okay, that sounds nice. It's not true. And the reality is like, now in our culture, we are starting to come out of this whole thing of looking at the church being those three things and going, okay, it's been an institution, it's been an event, it's been a place, a building. Okay, cool. But Jesus built that. That doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've got something to do with it. The people have something, a big part of to do with that. And then the fourth thing that have been the fourth definition that we've been throwing it in the last decade or two has been like what you were saying, like, I am the church. So I look at it like the church is definitely something. And I look at it seeing it as the church is definitely these three things. It definitely is an institution. Mm-hmm. It definitely is a building. It definitely is an event. It definitely is that package, Chris, you were saying. The church is the package. And it is a man-made package. For more on that, go deeper in one of our podcasts or the YouTube thing. It was created not by Jesus, not by one of the disciples, not by even a Christian, if that blows your mind. It was actually created by a king. And that system has been perpetually marketed as what Christians do. Mm-hmm. And now it's being marketed as what Christians are. Mm-hmm. Because you and I can say, I'm the church, and mentally the words don't really match up. But mentally we get it, yes, right? Mm-hmm. That Jesus is actually now lives in here. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the way that's being, the fourth definition is being used to say, see, you're the church, so you need to be here.
Yes.
It's not, you're the church, go do whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. No. It's, you're the church, so you need to be here.
Because if all these things are the same thing, you can't separate the things, or they wouldn't be the thing.
Yep. Right, right. And so that's why when I hear people say, I'm the church, I immediately go, no, you're not. Mm-hmm. You are not the church. You're not the system. You're the ecclesia. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so hard for us to hear someone say, you know, you can't be a Christian unless you go to church, because ultimately the church is the system. Thanks for listening to what was a kind of long conversation. We understand that this isn't a real simple concept to grasp sometimes and can take a while. But if you've been wondering about this idea that you can't be a Christian if you don't go to church, we really hope this episode has been helpful. If you have a question that you'd like to get our opinion on, we would sure love to hear from you. And you can reach us through the reologylife.com website anytime you want. Next time, we'll go further and deeper into the difference between church and ecclesia. Until then, we'll see you.